Things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And I'm glad, praise God, that He still does the impossible. Because I look at my life and I think that would be impossible for me to ever have any hope of heaven. I look at my life and I say that would be impossible for me to ever be a child of God or to be a Christian. And praise God, He done it anyway. Then that golden text, things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Let me give a good analogy for that. If Jesus Christ was standing right here this morning, then you had to walk up alongside Him and be as righteous as He is to enter into heaven, that'd be impossible for all of us. But He gave us His righteousness, and therefore now we have His righteousness, and we can walk up alongside Him and be as righteous as Him by the imputed righteousness of Christ upon us. Therefore, we are accepted in the Beloved. That's what a lot of people don't understand. They think they're going to get good enough. One day they're going to get the life straightened out. Hey, listen, He makes the crooked straight. And I tell you right now, buddy, apart from Him, you ain't going. He that has the Son has life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I've got an announcement to make here real quick. We've got a Thanksgiving dinner planned this coming Saturday, November the 10th at 3 p.m. And Molly's going to fix the turkey. Margaret's going to fix the ham. Everybody wants to can bring whatever they want to bring. But I'm looking forward to it. It'll be this coming Saturday at 3 p.m. Bring your family. Bring all that... you can, I guess. I hope it's a blessed event. I know it can be. And for lack of better words, but it's a time you'll just sit down and relate on days gone by and be thankful. Be thankful that you didn't wake up like some did this morning and they had to call for the morgue to come pick them up. Be thankful that God has given you another day and given you His blessing. But our lesson this morning is actually titled, Saved from Famine. The introduction in the last verses of this chapter, there's a repetition of what is said in the first two verses, and the reason for that is because it was fulfilled. This repetition was intended to call our attention to the fact that God's Word, it don't return void, it prospers in the thing it's sent to do, but the folly of unbelief, it's the opposite of faith. The Bible said by faith the elders obtained a good report. And the Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God. And this blessing was going to be reality. But they didn't all believe. But in this folly of unbelief, it caused one to see it not receive it. But faith appears to be weak. And unbelief causes skepticism. And causes people to look with contempt at heaven and upon believers. And even as this lesson brought out about this nobleman, this is a really good lesson. Unless I wish you'd really listen, this is probably going to be a better lesson than any message we preach today. But this nobleman, he heard about this blessing and he doubted it and he scoffed at it and it caused him to be a skeptic. But the prophet, he didn't waver. Elisha, and this lesson rebukes the folly of conceited men. And what that means is, they're like Thomas, if I see with my own eyes, I ain't going to believe. And the way I see it's like this. Well, I don't know how you see it, I don't know how I see it, but we better all see it as the Word of God says it. And this lesson here is a proclamation that God fulfilled, but they didn't all believe it, and they didn't all receive it. And some imagine that they have a reason for their unbelief. Maybe some here this morning. I've got a reason not to believe, Brother Eddie. I see a bunch of hypocrites in the church. Listen, there's hypocrites in every church. But the Bible don't tell you to look under the hypocrites. It don't tell you to look under the pastor. It don't tell you to look under the Baptist faith or the Methodist or the Charismatics or whatever. It says looking under Jesus. That's where you're supposed to look. And if you can find fault with Him, we're out of business. We ain't got no reason to have service today. But there ain't no fault in Him. But they think they got a reason for their unbelief. But this lesson shows us that those which stumble and try to justify their unbelief have in fact no grounds for it at all. There was an atheist that showed up at a revival meeting one night, and someone knew him. And they come up and confront him, and they said, "I thought you was an atheist." He said, "I am." And they said, "What are you doing here then?" He said, "I'm not here because I believe. I'm here because he believes. No one here would just say." I mean, even every atheist wants to believe. You may find that strange. He wants to believe. I worked with a guy that had been raised an atheist. His name is Phil Zamtuck. He may listen to this. I don't have a problem. He'll tell you I'm telling you the truth. He came to me and he said, "Eddie, I want to believe. I just can't. I've been raised this way." His father raised him that way. Larry Zamtuck raised this boy to be an atheist, to be an agnostic, not to believe in anything. Larry's done graduated this life. I have no doubt where he is. Phil's still alive. I've done my best to reason with Phil. I tried to use analogies that he could understand. And really, I could tell he wanted to believe. I mean, he didn't scoff at it. But he could not, because the Bible says faith comes from what, Molly?
Hearing
the Word of God. And without the Word of God, he couldn't believe. And he'd been raised apart from the Word of God. He wasn't brought to church like you and I. Anyway, there's still hope for Phil. He saw everyone on that crew get saved but him. But that atheist said, "Yeah, I don't believe, but he does." You know what that boy's father that mentioned there in Mark 9:24, when Jesus said, "Do you believe I can cast that devil out of that boy?" And he said, "Yeah, Lord, I believe, but help by my unbelief." Some people need some help with their unbelief. But to the skeptic, the Bible said in Hebrews 2:3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" You won't escape. I don't know how many days you got. Now, I'm certainly not your enemy. I'm your friend. Try to tell you the truth. Pray for you and love you. But the Bible says if you don't get saved, Hebrews 10:27, that you got a certain fearful looking forward of judgment which shall devour you. And I'll tell you right now, you ought to get the mercy while it's there to be got, while it's there to be had. But this lesson is a timely lesson. It pertains to our day. Because in our day, 2 Peter 3:3-4 said this will come in the last days, which is what we're living in. There will come scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, "Where is the promise of His coming?" Verse 5 says, "And for this they willingly are ignorant of it by the Word of God." Things are. But I want to get right into the lesson here. Our first verse, 2 Kings 7:1. Then Elijah said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." And that's where the problem is. We got ears, but we don't hear. So, if you need to get your truck keys out, like I do sometime, and try to start the motor, whatever, just open your ears this morning. Elijah said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Now these people are in a sore famine. They haven't had anything to eat. They're killing their own children. It still goes on. You get hungry enough, you'll eat your own young. And the women were beginning to kill and cook their own children because of this great famine. There's a besieging army that won't allow no one out, no one in. Now you know what America does to countries that don't behave? They cut off the supply. They start sanctions. It still goes on. Amen? Don't look at me like that. No food, no money. Eat the sand. We do it. They did it. It works. You starve them. Well, that's what this army of Syrians was doing to these Samaritans. They cut off the supply. The people inside were literally starving to death. And here's a preacher, and I am one too. He's a prophet. I'm not a prophet. I'm just a preacher. But in his day, he's the same thing as a preacher. And his message is, tomorrow, you're going to have plenty. You're going to have fine flour. You're going to have barley. You're going to have it right here. Now that was an impossibility. Everybody knew it. And the prospect was dark. Then for them to open the gates meant certain death or captivity. And the longer they remained, the more certain death and starvation stared them in the face. By the way, for what it's worth, this whole scene was a result of them forsaking God. God warned them, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 52 through 57, if you want to read it. But He warned them. He said, if you follow false gods, He told them they'd eat their children. And here they are doing it. Some people you can warn, and they'll still ignore it. But still, you can't help them. I'd like to preach a message on them sometime, and I'm intending to do it. The Lord give me leave, I'd do it today. On how do you warn someone about hell? It's impossible. You can't do it. If I could, I would. How do you welcome someone to heaven? It's impossible. I will eventually get to that message. I've done got the outline. I'd love to preach it. God give me liberty, I'd preach it today. But they had been warned that this would be the result of forsaking the living God. These extremities they brought upon themselves by their own sins. They had forsaken the living God. Now their false gods were not able to help them in the day of their calamity. You say, I ain't got no false God, Brother Eddie. Is that right? I beg to differ. Wall Street didn't do too much when Sandy hit. Wonder how many people checked about that. That ain't half of it. You'd be surprised what you would trust in other than living God.
Amen.
That's why they call them convenience stores. That's why they call it, this and that. But we have false gods today. Yeah. It's your money. Why not get it today? I mean, all kinds of things like that. All kinds of schemes. What's that, reverse mortgage and all that stuff. All kinds of stuff. But anyway, they had consented. They had trusted in something that wasn't real. Now the reality is set in, and their false gods are not able to help in this calamity. And it is an evil day in man's history when he turns his back upon the living God, upon the Word of God, upon the commandments of God, upon God's saints. It is a sad day. It does happen. But these calamities had hardened their hearts and blinded their eyes. Right in the middle of all this blindness, Sister Molly, God bless you, honey. I appreciate those amens. There was one man that had something good to say. That one man was Elisha the prophet. And he had proved even before that he could be trusted. And blessed be God, they did have Elisha, the man of God, the man who by counseling told them to make a valley full of ditches and saved them with water. Also delivered the Moabites into their hands and saved them. And also had revealed Benadad's secrets and smitten the Syrian army with blindness. But they done forgot about all of that. You know how it is, you know. Yeah, that was yesterday, preacher. What about today? The Bible said he daily loads us with benefits. They forgot about all that. And instead of looking to Elijah, they blamed him for the situation. I don't mind you blaming me. I ain't nobody anyway. But instead of blaming me, why not just accept a little bit of the blame like these people here should have done? Why not just say, hey, it may be something other than what this seems to be. But they blamed Elisha. And matter of fact, the king wanted to take his head off. You look up there at verse number 31. If you do have your Bible open to 2 Kings chapter 6, the king said, then said he, God do so and more also to me if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. That's the king that Elisha delivered from the king Sennacherib. I'm sorry, Benadad. There's so many in here. They're blaming him for these troubles. Now they ain't got nothing. All they did was leave the living God and serve false gods, but they ain't got no one else to blame other than themselves, so they blame Elisha. But how often does it happen when people get in difficulties that they blame others? What was that Adam said about Eve? What was that Eve said about that serpent? What was that Cain said to God? Am I my brother's keeper? What was it God told Cain? Sin lies at the door. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if not, I'm just telling you, we play the blame game. We got five fingers, and I think we use all five of them and try to get another one on there somewhere. When trouble and difficulties come upon us, our first order of business should be to search our own heart, our own lives, to see whether there's any reason for this trouble. David, when Absalom overthrew his father David, and David could have killed him, but he loved his son and left the palace to him and left. When he left, there was one of the household of Saul, Simei, I believe, came out and cursed David and threw rocks at him and kicked dirt on him. That's God's anointed. The Bible says, touch not my anointed, do not my prophets no harm. He came out, and they wanted to take this guy's head off. They said, let me go over, I'll take his head off. I want one lick, he'll be done. David said, let him alone. He said, this may be of the Lord. I respect that. David said, this may be of the Lord. David had done something wrong. He caused a sword to come up on his home. And the Bible does say that God's not mocked, whatever we sow, we reap. But David made a statement, I don't know if anybody could have enough of God in him to make, but he said, let him alone. This thing may be of the Lord. In the book of Acts, they said, if this thing's of God, you can't overthrow it. We're on the first verse. Shimei came and cursed David. Zedekiah the king, after he got in over his head in trouble, asked Jeremiah, is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah 37, verse 17. And he said, there is. It wasn't good. He said, you're going to die. You're going to die tonight. And he did. But difficulties and troubles, they do come. We never think that we got anything to do with it, but sometimes we do. But the king never thought about looking to God for any help or for deliverance. He never thought about humbling himself before God, but instead he threw the blame upon God's prophet, Elisha. And by the way, Elisha interrupted the king. That's where this verse number one come from. And he interrupted the king's threat by his prediction of plenty. Now, you think right in the middle of distress and trouble that someone offered you some hope, that you'd at least say, praise the Lord. But look at verse 2. Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. That man slit his own throat. You know, the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. He sealed his fate, Sister Molly. God bless you. I'll hug your neck before day's over with. Got one alive in here this morning. Amen. But he used scornfulness and incredibility. He's saying, you know, you ain't nothing. We don't want to hear what you got to say. But this proclamation of plenty, which Elijah predicted, he said, that's impossible, man. Man, this is 2012. This is the 21st century. Howard, he said, that's impossible. That's true. But with God,
amen,
all things are possible.
That's right.
If you take God out of the equation, I agree. It is impossible.
That's right. Amen.
If this is all there is to life, let's eat, drink, be merry, tomorrow we die, Wanda. But I'm glad God promised more. Amen. Abraham sought for it. The Bible said Abraham sought a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. He found it. John described it to us in the book of Revelation. You couldn't even hardly write it all down. There's so much about that city. Four square. Had 12 foundations. Whew, what a city. I've seen cities man-made, none of them like this city. Anyway, he said, said, that's impossible. And by doing so, he sneered. Good to have you ladies. Y'all come on in. By doing so, he sneered at Elisha's word. Now listen, you can sneer at what I preach today. But I do want to say this on my behalf. I didn't have a message till this morning at 4 o'clock. It had been lean all week. And I had wept and sought the Lord and no answer. This morning, I got up 2 o'clock, which is 1 o'clock really by that clock. And this morning at 4 o'clock, I finally heard from heaven. So I finally got a message. You might sneer at it. You can. It's a freak. It's America. Man, you can get away with a murder in America. You can do anything. We got so much rights, ain't nothing wrong. Oh, it's quiet in here. Somebody start a chainsaw or something.
Without God, you won't get away with one thing.
Ain't nobody going to get away with nothing, buddy. I'll tell you what, God's going to bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or evil. Read the last of Ecclesiastes. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. If it's the whole duty of man, the last verse of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, for God shall bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I will stand. You will stand. We'll have our day in the court of God. Believe you me, I'm glad I've got the blood applied. They sneered. They scoffed. They said it's impossible. And by the way, he's the type of all the rationalists, the liberals, the Antichrist of the day and hour we live in. The last things that they believe are disposed to believe in. I mean, it's the last resort is to believe the Word of God or to believe God to be fulfilled. But the Bible does say it will. Every jot and every tittle. But there was no possibility of help in this prospect. The Syrians had them encamped, had them closed in. They had cut off all of the food and all of the supplies. Nothing coming in. And Elisha's promise hit the category of delusion. He said, he's crazy. He's crazy. Don't pay no attention. He's crazy. Elisha had an answer for him. He said, you'll see it, but you won't eat none of it. You know one thing about heaven? I don't want to just see it, Molly. I want to eat. I want to sit down at the table of the Lord. I want to sit with Him and Him with me. God help the carnality of this world that can't see beyond the end of their nose. They can't see no more than the bank account. They can't see no more than what they're able to do. And the things they look at is impossible. They don't even want to ask God for help. God help them. That's the way this man, well, he's a rationalist. Hey, he's got it all figured out, William. He don't need nobody. He's so smart, man. I'm telling you what. They got his name wrote in the Bible 2 times. Psalms 14:1, Psalms 53:1. Got his name wrote in there. Luke 12 also. No prospect here. No evidence of any help. Elijah's promise is just delusion. He's just crazy. Well, Elijah, he don't give no argument. He's not there. I'm not here to argue either. Hey, listen, I'll be wasting time if I argued. Time is short. Days at hand. Bless you, Molly. Lord's with you this morning. She's right on cue right there. Matter of fact, she's supposed to say that. Amen? Amen. He didn't argue. He left His Word to be proved or disproved. I say the same thing today. Let God be true and let's all be what we are, a bunch of liars. The Bible said we come forth from the womb speaking lies. But He said, you know what? He told that guy, he said, I'll tell you what, buddy. The penalty of your unbelief is going to be, you're going to see it, you're not going to eat of it. You remember what Jesus told Thomas? Thomas said, except I see my own eyes, the nail prints in his hand, and put my finger in, and thrust my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. And Jesus just showed up and he said, Thomas,
amen.
Put your finger in, thrust your hand in, be not faithless, but believe. Thomas said, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said, because you've seen, you believe, buddy. That ain't too hard. He said, blessed are those that believe without seeing. That's why we get the blessing, Molly.
He's always right on that.
That's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence is not yet seen. Things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report. You won't get too far without faith. But Elisha told him, he said, you'll see it, but you won't eat of it. By the way, that's the fate of every unbeliever. God's Word stands sure. It'll stand the time. Oh, yeah. But the intellectual. I did go to college. I realized one thing. It ain't all what it's built up to be. I went through 2 years of college. And I hate to say it, but I learned more in grade school than I learned in college. I still remember all six of my grade school teachers' names. Miss Thomas, Miss Akers, Miss Stull, Miss Johnson, Miss Middleton. I remember my principal's name, Mr. Moore. I still remember when he shot John F. Kennedy and he dismissed school. I was in the fourth grade, Miss Akers' class. It came over the intercom. The president had just been assassinated. They dismissed school, lowered the flag down the half mast. I still remember that. I still remember walking home that day thinking, well, what are we going to do? I still remember us going underneath the table and practicing bomb threats. I still remember all that. But I'll tell you what, college ain't all it's built up to be. Some of that stuff in there, I have to admit, I done forgot more than they knew. And I'm not saying that in a bragging way. They just didn't really have anything to offer. I mean that. But to the intellectual, to the scoffer, to the doubter, to the man that's so wise. Oh, by the way, the Bible does say that the world by wisdom knew not God. And the Bible said God winked at the wisdom of this world and commands men everywhere to repent. But you know, we've come a long way. I mean, this is 2012. Get with it, man. But the man is too wise to believe, finds himself shut out of the blessing. Don't miss heaven. Listen, my preaching, it's not all that dramatic. I'm not Billy Graham. I'm not Dr. B.R. Lakin. I'm not D.L. Moody. I'm Eddie Wade. I don't have any buttons to pop off. But I will tell you one thing. I know him personally. I will deliver his message, even though I'm just a messenger boy. Don't scoff at the opportunity to have a home in heaven. Don't turn down the blessedness of knowing Him as your Lord and Savior. This man scoffed at it. And he missed the blessing. He's not alone. There'll be some. Even the day and hour we're living in, he'll miss the blessing. But verse 3, good grief, we're in verse 3. There were four leprous men at the entering end of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here till we die? Here's four men that God could use. And I thank God that He does have men He can use. I had a bottle of water. I don't know what I did with it. But praise God, I got one now. Thank you, Brother Jesse. But here's four men that God could use. They didn't have any outstanding qualities. I mean, they're just leprosy. They're lepers. And by the way, they was outside. All they ate was what they threw over the wall, whatever. They were poor, pitiful objects. The last persons in the world anyone would have any thought of looking to for any hope or help on this situation, yet these four despised lepers were to actually be the savior of the city. And the reason for that is because they didn't stay there. They said, why sit we here until we die? Now, I'll give an invitation today, and there'll be some of you. Help yourself, preacher. Go stick a dynamite back here and see if you can move me. And there'll be some of you that'll say, I've waited long enough. I'm going to give the Lord a reward of His suffering. I'm going to give Him His due reward. I'm going to give Him the joy that was set before Him. I'm going to give Him an opportunity to be my Lord and Savior. Whether He saves me or whether He don't, let that be up to Him. But I am going to come. Well, these four men said, we're not going to sit no longer. And by the way, the gray hairs are gathering. And you're not getting no younger. And they done something unusual. They got up. There's enough power in that thought to begin a revival. And a worldwide revival. And a church going live and salvation. Just in those words. Why sit we here until we die? There's enough thought in that to begin a revival. Let me move on. I got to hurry. And if we say we will enter into the city when the famine's in the city, we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall. unto the host of the sins. And if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. In other words, they said, we ain't got nothing to lose. These lepers, they reasoned in themselves. By the way, it was the twilight hour. Verse 5 tells us, the midnight hour. Verse 5 says, and they rose up in the twilight or the midnight hour. I mean, the sand's gone. The time's run out. To go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. I'm sure they've been told, you know, that they're going to have to face certain death or be bound, tortured. But you know what? When they showed up, it wasn't like it was told. They had no reason for not going. Only reason they had was, you know, that somebody told them they wasn't going to get no help if they went. And this preacher done preached this message, said, you're going to get a blessing today. You're going to get fine flour. You're going to get barley. But nobody's going. Poor lepers, man, said, let's go. And when they went, the evening of the day, which Elijah made this promise, it's the last hour of the day of the promise. Now, Christ Jesus died 2012 years ago. I don't know how long He's going to wait. I know the Bible said He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing any perish, all come repentance. I know that. I know the days far spent, the days of hell. I know all that. I don't know how much further we got, but I do know one thing. In the last minutes of the hour, of the day, of the promise, they got up and went. And when they went, oh boy, was they ever glad. They were the first to make the discovery that the prophecy was true. It'd been out there. Brother Anthony, it'd been out there all along. It was there to be had. Don't do no good till you come and get it. Listen, God offers it. You ought to get it. I done got mine. Praise God, I wish I'd done it sooner. But with fear and trembling, they went. The Bible said in Romans 13, verse 11, that our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Verse 6, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear Noah's of chariots. By the way, this is of God. This wasn't just a chance accident that all of this was provided. I want you to listen to this verse one more time. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites, the kings of the Egyptians, to come upon us. And they literally run plumb out of their shoes. That's a figure of speech my dad used. I'll remember it till I die and try to pass it on to my kids. But God had caused this provision. He caused these sinners to leave it behind. They left with great haste. They thought they was running for their lives, and God probably killed them if they hadn't. It's probably a good thing they didn't run. And with fear, they left it all just so this prophecy could be fulfilled. They left the tents just as they were. Verse 7 says, wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, left their tents, their horses, their ashes, even the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. The panic was so great. But thank God, He knows how to send help.
Amen.
Yeah.
You'll notice the Lord had that happen at
twilight. Twilight, yeah.
At the same time.
Same time.
Lepers rise up. You know, it's going to take them lepers a while to get there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're
maimed
to begin with.
God, His time is not like yours and mine. He's right on time. Amen. Good point there, Sister Anita. But thank God that God neither sleeps nor slumbers, and He knows what to do about what looks to us as being impossible. I don't know what you're going through. Hey, look, you don't know what I'm going through. We all look at one another like looking at a gate, wondering if we can get through it or not. God knows everything about Eddie Wade. He knows everything about Carolyn Gaskins. He knows everything about Anthony, Allie, and Melissa, and everybody here. And you know what? He says, I'll help you if you'll let me. Sad thing is, we'll go over with him. But anyway, verse 8, when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent. Oh, listen here. And did eat and drink, and carried his silver and gold and raiment. Sound like somebody just got saved to me. Wow! And went and hid it, came again in another tent, and carried his also and went and hid it. Man, I'll tell you what, I wish I'd know what I was missing out on. I'd got saved a whole lot sooner. I've been a fool for 34 years. I deprived myself of what these boys here discovered. They discovered plenty and then some more. More than, I'm talking about more than you can even imagine. More God offers it. These four lepers made this discovery. They first satisfied their own hunger and thirst. You know that woman in John chapter 4, verse 29, after she drank of that water, Jesus said, if you'd asked me, I'd give you a drink of water of life, you'd never thirst again. She said, Lord, give me this water. After he talked about her sin a little bit, come on in here, Brother Nolan. After he talked about her sin a little bit, buddy, she left her water pump, St. John chapter 4, verse 29. She said, come see a man that told me all things. It's not this the Christ. I'm telling you, get to Jesus. You'll find and get saved. Amen. I know this is Sunday school class, but I'll tell you what, I like this lesson. But salvation came to these four lepers. It came because they went where it was. It came because they went by the providence of God. And I'll tell you what, every soul that's found Christ should imitate these lepers in this matter. First of all, make sure you found Him. And then after that, go bring others to Him, amen. And let them meet Him. Let them be satisfied. Let them enrich themselves in Him. Let me say, first of all, if you ain't saved, don't go. Man, oh man, you ain't got a chance. He'll strain you like a gnat and sift you like wheat. But if you're saved, and I mean truly saved, I'll tell you right now, I'll talk to anybody. I'll talk to anybody but the devil, and I've thankfully had a few close encounters with him. But personal enjoyments assist us in our testimony. A service. I know I use myself a lot for illustration, analogy, but I don't know you as well as I know me. I do know Eddie Wade was a drunk. I do know he don't drink no more. Been 24 years. I do know that. I do know the day he cut that umbilical cord, and I had one in my hand, never wanted one so bad in all my life. I do know that. I do know I wanted to pull it and couldn't. I know that. And about you, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, I got personal satisfaction, I got personal salvation, and it was Him that done it. And it makes it different when you go try to tell somebody, you're able to give them some hope, offer them some help. But verse 9, they said one to another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace, and we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. I wish I had a church full of Him. Now therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. These four leprous men were alone in this blessing. And this whole city's out here and they're perishing because of hunger. They're being deprived of the things necessary for life. And these lepers took thought to more than themselves. Hello. It's not enough that you're saved. You ought to have a burden. The day I got saved, I had a burden. And I wanted other people to get saved. It don't make no sense when somebody gets saved and they go AWOL. You don't ever see them again. That don't make no sense to me. Man, I'm telling you what. Now that woman said, come see a man that told me all things. It's not this to Christ. She brought others to Him. But they took thought for others. And they began to make the journey. And they made the kind of the news of this plenty to the city. And the application is, it's our own duty to do the same. Amen. That's your reasonable service, by the way. Those that possess the saving knowledge of the true God, of Jesus Christ, will say we do not well if we will hold from those who are perishing. Why should we sit idle and let those that are messengers of Satan, that Jesus said, you can pass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when he's made, Jesus said, you make him a twofold more child of hell than yourselves.
Amen.
Why should we let the watchtower outwitness us? Why should we let others outwitness us? Why are we not out like the lepers said, there's plenty, come on down. I believe the pews could be filled. I'd like to see the front row filled. I have to admit, I've seen a few Sister Gail's granddaughter's here this morning, and she was sitting on the end of the pew right here, and I got a feeling she'd rather be sitting in the middle now. But it just so happened I stopped right where she was, and it kind of got personal because I got right there in her face, and she cringed and scooted back. I'm not no threat. I'm just bearing good news. Sometimes I do get a little excited and fanatical. Don't hold it against me, but she's sitting in the middle today. I told her, I said, honey, use some sense today, sit in the middle. She said, I agree. But we do not well when we hold back the good news from those that are perishing. The Bible said in the book of Jude, having compassion, making a difference. The verse in front of that says, hating even the flesh, let's see, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh, pull them out of the fire. We do not well not going out. The heathen world, they're ignorant. The multitudes around us, they don't understand what you know. You've had your eyes open. And shall we not make these good tidings known? I'm telling you, shall we not take the message to those who have never been saved? We who are enlightened, we who delay no more, should hasten to the cities of the lost. Get the word to them that Jesus, Paul said, of a truth, Christ Jesus came in this world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. You know, Jesus made a statement. It's kind of a slap in the face, bold statement. But Jesus said, Luke 19, verse 40, when they was hauling out, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed be Him that cometh in the name of the Lord. And them pharmaceuticals bunch come up there in their big long garments and said, tell them to hold their peace. Jesus said to them in Luke 19, verse 40, He said, I tell you, if these should hold their peace, the stones will immediately cry out. I tell you what, buddy, I don't think we need to hold our peace. I think we need to cry out. Amen? But verse 16 said, and the people went out, and they spared the tents of the Syrians. And so, listen, remember the prophecy that the preacher preached, the prophet? So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel according to the word of the Lord. That's all good. These starving people were satisfied by the supply that God gave them. They were freed. Oh, they didn't deserve it, but they got it anyway. Hey, listen, I didn't deserve it neither, but I got it anyway. I pity somebody who thinks they deserve heaven or to be forgiven or get saved. I like those that come up and say, brother, I don't deserve it. Them's the ones I like to see. Because I'll tell you what, buddy, the Bible said God exalts, He resists the proud and exalts the humble. But anyway, they didn't deserve it, but they got it. And here this word is fulfilled. I mean, to the jot, to the tittle. And you know, worldly men, they laugh and the rationalists, they mock. But the event that happened right here, buddy, they had to shut up. Amen. But that verse 17, there was some more to that prophecy. It had to be fulfilled. Verse 17, the king appointed the Lord, whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate, and the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. There remained one part to be fulfilled in this prophecy. That officer that scoffed at this statement, really, for lack of better words, deprive himself of this blessing. He ended up being appointed to guard the gate, to oversee the sales of the provisions. He was trodden underfoot and died. And how accurately the Word of God was fulfilled. And sometimes accidents are nothing less than the providence of God. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, it teaches men not to be fools, not to be in folly, not to mock God's Word. And it teaches also the certainty of the fulfilling of God's Word. And it also illustrates the end of the ungodly. This lesson right here is not outdated. And I hope with fear you consider him that's got a nail hole in his hand reaching out to you saying, let me help you. Let me save you. All right. Thank you so much for bearing with me. I went about 15 minutes over on the Sunday school lesson. Let me take a couple more minutes to make this announcement. This coming Saturday, November the 10th, we're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner here at the church at 3 p.m. And Molly's going to bring a turkey. Margaret's going to bring a ham. And everybody needs to bring whatever they want to, vegetables, dessert, or snacks, or whatever. But also bring your family. Bring your family that would like to come with you. I believe this would be a good thing. And let me say this about Thanksgiving. It's an opportunity just to stop and look back and reflect upon the blessings of God upon you and your family. Thanksgiving is a time. It's not Turkey Day.
Amen.
It's a time to say, Lord, thank you.
Amen.
That your blessing has been upon me and my family. And you've kept us up to this hour. And we're thankful. I'll tell you right now, you ought to be thankful. The Bible said in everything, give thanks.
Right. Amen.
All right, get Brother James, please, come up here and help us in the Sunday school introduction.
Good morning. Glad to be back. Good to see everyone back out. I thought it was another day, another opportunity to be here. Thank you for salvation.